This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Of mental health and substance abuse services.
Dazzling decal on Daisy's Donuts window. Bold banner at Barry's Barbershop. Prominent poster at Penny's on Park Place.
This is your sign. Well, signs. To try Staples and see the difference. Get $15 off signs, banners, and posters when you spend $75 or more.
From Staples. And I couldn't miss it.
N617. Visit staplesconnect.com/printbig for details.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year. Which means...
Wait. Hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match. Only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Not all water heaters are made equally. Some can be temperamental. Some can be unreliable. And don't even think about what happens if you have neighbors downstairs.
Why is it raining inside my apartment?
Not with a Navien tankless water heater. You'll never run out of hot water. You only heat water when you need it, saving you tons in utility costs. Navien tankless water heaters. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com to learn more.
Calling all job seekers. The Federal Correctional Complex in Forest City is hosting a hiring event at the Academies of West Memphis High School. Thursday, June 8th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're looking for dedicated individuals like you to join our team of correctional officers and medical staff. We're offering an incredible sign-on bonus, starting at $10,000 and going up to $13,800 for correctional officers, and incentives for medical staff, too. At FCC Forest City, we believe in taking care of our employees with a competitive salary, law enforcement retirement, opportunity for promotion, health, vision, and dental insurance, 11 paid holidays, and so much more. Take the first step towards a fulfilling career and join the Federal Correctional Complex in Forest City, Arkansas. Visit usajobs.gov to apply today and make plans to attend the June 8th hiring event at the Academies of West Memphis High School, located at 501 West Broadway Street in West Memphis, Arkansas, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
FCC Forest City and the BOP are equal opportunity employers.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say, play 92.9. ESPN. Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up.
Now, it's Chris Harrington, live on 92.9, discussing the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now, starting at just $10. Go to usfl.com.
Chris Harrington joins us now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Wait by hippie-era country band Mother Earth. What we will continue to do for John Morant news for another week or so.
Is it possible to wait another 2 weeks or so?
It could be. Could be. Miami didn't help us out last night.
What did you make of that last night? Because one of the big struggles that I felt like I've had during the entirety of the playoffs is game to game has not mattered as much. And in the end, like, we're not scoring it on the aggregate. We're not totaling it up and seeing who has the most points, whatnot. It's based on games. But even last night, when clearly if you're someone who's wants the Heat to win, like, last night made you feel better, but at the same time, I felt like it really boiled down to what you and I talked about on Friday. Like, the path for the Heat is they're going to have to absolutely shoot the crap out of the ball from the three, and they did that last night, but it's like, do I think they can shoot 49% for the rest of the series? It's like, I don't know if I'm betting on that. How did you feel last night?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, there were other aspects to the game, obviously. There are adjustments Miami made. There are things Denver didn't do, but it was that. I mean, there is ultimately that. And I feel like for Miami, I guess for the series, that's going to be sort of the common denominator. I sort of said on Friday, I think Miami has to have big three-point shooting games to win in this series, and they had a big three-point shooting game. They shot 49% from three. I think it was 17 of 35. I think they need to do that. And they did that, and they still, like, won by three. I think Jamal Murray had a shot there at the buzzer that sort of rimmed out, that would have forced overtime. Now, only a three-point win shooting that well, but you're also in Denver, which had not lost at home the entire playoffs. And so that's a big win for Miami. I still like Denver in the series. I think Denver can win in Miami. But I think maybe that game's a little bit of a wake-up call for Denver. Yes, Miami shot the ball really well, but I don't think, and I sort of agree with Michael Malone, who was sort of upset at the team's effort, like, after the game. I don't think Denver played, you know, you're up one and you've been coasting. I felt like Miami had a little bit more urgency in that game. Miami definitely made, or the team, you know, when you're down, you're the team making adjustments, and they sort of did that, you know, starting Kevin Love. So they're not getting trucked in the paint quite as much as they were in game one. They're playing a little bit bigger. Obviously, they defended the non-Jokic players for Denver. They put more emphasis, it seemed, on that to try to deny that. I think even then, I think Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray have to be better for the Nuggets. And then ultimately, again, it comes down to Miami making shots. I think Miami has to make shots, three-point shots at a high rate to win. They did that and other stuff in game two. And, you know, this Miami team is, we've sort of learned not to count them out. I still like Denver in the series, but it sure feels like, you know, it's going to go a 6 or 7 at this point.
I think we can acknowledge this point, hot take for everyone out there. Miami is good.
Yeah.
I still can't put my finger on it for why they're good. And to me, it's almost like, Is maybe their strength the fact that, like, it doesn't really feel like, if someone is not playing well, like Strus was awful in game one, they sit him down in the fourth quarter, like, he comes back and he hits big shots early yesterday. Like, is that the strength of their team? Is that in the end they are a team? Like, that's kind of what I feel like when I watch them. Like, it is a team.
Well, I think even if you step back from this run they've been on, like, go back to, like, the beginning of the season, and if you step back from it, objectively speaking, Eric Spoelstra was probably considered the best coach in the league now. If you went and look at different, like, coach rankings or podcasts or people rank coaches, Spo would have been number one. So they have maybe the best coach in the league. I think on similar kind of list, Jimmy Butler was going to be a top 15 player in the league. Bam Adebayo is typically, you know, in that top 25 to 30. So you got two roughly top 25 players who are both two-way players, impact both ends of the floor, one of which has a history of being a leader who gets things done in the playoffs, and you got the best coach. That's a good foundation. Now that team struggled to make the playoffs. They ended up being the 8th seed. But that foundation, that's the same foundation that got to the finals, you know, 2 or 3 years ago in the bubble, that got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And so that's a proven foundation to win in the playoffs. And they've just done a really good job of, like, developing around that and particularly finding shooters around that. I mean, you look at, like, a Gabe Martin Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson. Like, they found, like, you know, good role players around sort of that foundation. And so is that a foundation of a team that should win a title? No. But that's a foundation for a team that has consistently had real success in postseason basketball.
Does this move up the value of shooting for you, for things that the Grizzlies should be looking for? Because you know, how many teams can just sit there and play zone like the Heat do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I suppose technically any team can, but like, to me, the more and more emphasis three-point shooting has had, particularly in the playoffs, like if you go back and you look at almost every series, I think the Clippers outshot Phoenix, but they were so decimated by injury that didn't really feel like a fair fight. The Grizzlies technically outshot the Lakers by, I think, like 0.5%. But for the most part, all these series have just been defined by three-point shooting. Like, should that be something that the Grizzlies are paying attention to?
Well, I think it already is. I mean, if you go back and look at, you know, what they did in the past year, you know, they let Kyle Anderson walk because they don't believe in him as someone spacing the floor off the ball, and for good reason. And then they go out and they aggressively go out to get Jake LaRavia and David Roddy because their error maybe that those kids, these guys aren't going to be good, but their tangible error, which they admitted, was assuming too much too soon with those guys. But they went out and got them because they thought they profiled as basically your Max Strus, Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson types. Like, guys who can play, like, in between your main ball handlers and make shots and be versatile defensively in playoff basketball. I mean, they went out and got Jake LaRavia and David Roddy because they see them as the kind of players who can play in these kind of series as role players, right? If you have your Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, who can be your Caleb Martin and Max Strus and Duncan Robinson and these kind of guys, and they went out and got LaRavia and Roddy because they see them as ultimately those kind of players. And maybe they will be ultimately, but Aaron was thinking they would be, you know, immediately. They traded for Luke Kennard, you know, the best pure shooter, one of the best pure shooters in the league. So I think in the past year, the Grizzlies have put a big emphasis on that. And so I don't think this makes that more important to the Grizzlies. I think this has already been internalized. It's very important to the Grizzlies that you know, when you have Ja and Jaren and Dez, you're filling out around them to put more emphasis on that. In the past, maybe they hadn't. And so you do have a roster that has a lot of non-shooters like Brandon Clark and Steven Adams or whatever. But in terms of what they've done in the past year, you've seen them with that emphasis, for better or worse. I mean, they would have been a better team with Kyle Anderson last year, but they wanted to go after the shooting.
Would they have been a better team with D'Anthony Melton?
That's a good question. I mean, Kennard is a better shooter. Melton is a more versatile player, right? And does more other things. I think that's highly debatable. I think, you know, Melton, again, was really good for Philly, was not a big difference maker once you got deep into the playoffs. And so that's sort of what we've seen before. I think the Grizzlies would not go back and reverse that. They would rather, even though it was a delayed acquisition, right?
Yeah.
You make the trade to get Danny Green, and then 3 or 4 months later you flip him for Kennard. I don't think the Grizzlies would reverse that process. So I don't think they second guess that. It just, you know, their season didn't go quite as much. They didn't go as deep as they wanted to this year for various reasons, but I don't think they would reverse that process now.
How much hope is there for the Grizzlies to get better internally for next year?
I think there's a decent amount. I mean, I'd be curious to know how they really think about it.
Yeah.
I don't have a good feel for that. Like, the way they played or did not play Zaire Williams late in the season sort of suggested, made you wonder, are they out on him, or do they just see it as, you know, he needs a, you know, to hit the restart button in the summer. I don't know where they're at on Zaire Williams. I suspect that you know, David Roddy and Jake LaRavia's seasons did not change their ultimate assessments of them that they had going into the season. You know, they were rookies. But I think all three of those guys have the potential to be better. If what you're counting on is for those guys to be in various ways fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth guys, you know, in a team, you've got your top three, and you're looking for them not to be your Butler and Adebayo, but to be your Caleb Martin, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus. Like, I don't think the door's been shut on any of those players to be those kind of places in the pecking order of a good team. I just think it was too soon to expect that last season.
Is it realistic to expect with Zaire? I think it's fair to say this is a lost season. Like, the train never got rolling on the track because of the injury, and then when he came back, like, clearly there were some confidence issues and the season, it just felt like never got going. Is it reasonable to expect that I'm not saying like that he'll ever develop as like the 10th pick in the draft and you know, be that missing link, but is it reasonable to expect he can get back on track this season?
I don't see why not. I don't think you can assume that. But is it a reasonable thing to, that could happen? I see no reason why it can't. He's still so young. He's even younger than his age basketball-wise in terms of the physical development. Like, you know, I likened him to more of a Jaren Jackson type than a Desmond Bane type coming in the sense that it was going to be a longer runway to get to where he was going to be because of the physical development that he needed, because of the reps that he needed. And so, I don't know what he's going to be, but the idea that it was going to be a 3 or 4 year process to really get there, to me, is not unusual at all. I mean, that I think was to be expected for him. I think there are some good qualities there in terms of his length, his athleticism. I think he's shown some stuff in terms of being able to get to spots. And we talk about, you know, the importance of being able to create mid-range shots and make some of those. I think he's flashed some of that. In some ways more raw skill in terms of creating and making those kind of shots than, you know, that someone like Dylan Brooks had. You know, how well can you develop that? I think his ability to play in transition and play above the rim really fits well with John Morant. I just don't know where the team is in terms of their evaluation. And then as you get into the summer, the reality is as you start looking around for trade possibilities, that $4.8 million that he's due next year, a lot of trade stuff you're going to think about, that's going to have to be in it. Because they don't have – that's really the only contract like that they have. They have a bunch of contracts that are, you know, above 12 and a lot that are under 3 or whatever. Like, you know, that $5 million contract is very useful in terms of making things work. And so I think, you know, it's not too late. It's not time to close the book on Zaire Williams, but he's got to be pretty high on the list of Grizzlies most likely to be traded at the same time.
I assume he's going to play in summer league, right?
I think they suggested that. Yeah, I want to say on the final media day they suggested he would play in summer league.
Is there anything in summer league that would define what you think about him heading into the season?
I think there's more negative conclusion than positive conclusion to gain from summer league. I think he has to look good in summer league. I think looking good in summer league is not a slam dunk of what's going to happen after that. But I think looking bad in summer league in your third trip there would be a huge red flag. And so that's not a reason not to do it. I think he needs to do it. But to me, if you're going to draw a conclusion from summer league, negative conclusions are going to be more solid than positive. So hopefully he has a really good summer league like Santi Aldama did last year. Then you hope it carries over. But it would only be a hope that it carries over. I don't think it would be a conclusion that it carries over.
There's been, you know, we're now getting into mock draft season, and we're starting to see different ideas. I think this is the main question that I have. How likely do you think it is that the Grizzlies make their pick in the first round?
You know, they have a history of trading, of moving up. I think that they have sort of steered themselves to a corner where they just can't. They could definitely take the pick at 25, but I don't think they're going to be moving up or adding extra picks. And I think they have to be looking at scenarios where you could move out. I mean, are there scenarios where you could trade that pick for a future pick or pair that pick with a player to move up or to do something? Because they just have a roster spot crunch, and it's not so much like, you know, you don't want to add another rookie to the team. It's that you literally only have one open roster spot right now. You have 14 players under contract. You have one open roster spot, and you have a need to fill that I don't think, you know, that if it gets filled internally, it's not going to be through that draft pick, you know, in terms of your starting small forward. You know, and so if you don't do anything else and you take that pick and that gets you to 15 players, well, now you have to be starting somebody, you know, Zaire Williams, Luke Kennard, whatever. But if they want to add from the outside, they have a roster spot problem, and they don't have anyone else left who I think they would feel comfortable buying out or waiving to create a spot the way they did Kennedy Chandler. I think, you know, there's no one on this roster you're going to want to just get rid of like you did Killian Tilly or like you have other players in the past. And so, you know, I have to think that they would be looking for ways to use that pick in a way that keeps roster spots open.
Obviously, the league schedule is what it is. It's not like it's a surprise to anyone. But I've been thinking about this. If you're the Grizzlies, wouldn't you prefer to have free agency before the draft? Like, I feel like that could help solve some questions for them, but maybe I'm completely insane on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like a seesaw kind of thing. Like, you know, if you push down on one end, the other end pops up.
Yeah.
So I've never developed a strong opinion about the order, what the right order of operations is there, because I think there are pluses and minuses either way you go. I think the reality is that even though free agency doesn't technically start until after the draft, it's effectively started. And so you're kind of doing all this stuff all around the same time. And you, a lot of times, even as you go into the draft, you have a pretty good sense, or at least you've narrowed your sense of what you can and can't do. And in some cases you even know, like let's try not to be too upfront about it and like get a tampering charge. But a lot of teams, I think, have already conducted their business, you know, under the table anyway. So I don't see it as that big of a deal. I think from the outside, it's more problematic than internally, I would guess.
And then, of course, the other big question for the Grizzlies is the length of a Ja Morant suspension. I believe Woj on Friday said pay attention to the number 17, which I did obviously pay attention to, because he mentioned, hey, that means it's the punishment. You avoid you're going to miss the All-NBA teams, whatnot. Stephen A., I believe, on Rich Eisen's show throughout 25 games. The fact that we started after all kind of the negative reaction from Adam Silver's comments, the fact that really Woj throughout 17 games and you're here in 25, does that give hope that this idea of this half season suspension, like, that's probably not on the table?
You know, I don't know. It's still all over the place, and it's hard to read like what's conjecture and what source. I think with Woj in particular, your antenna is up that he, because I just don't think, like I said, 18 games, and my thinking was similar in that, like, the whole notion of 17 was that leaves open the possibility of elite year-end awards. I had said 18 because that closes off the possibility, like, that's right on the edge either side.
Yeah.
And I saw it as more punishment to close off that opportunity. It almost, like, it seems like the Woj idea is it's a carrot to leave open the opportunity. But I am just coming up with that number from my own thinking. I don't know if Woj does that, right? I feel like Woj doesn't say anything unless there's some inkling involved. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's sort of just my read on him. But he alone, I wonder if he knows something, right? With everyone else, I just think people are making stuff up. And so you still have people saying, like, some guy on ESPN, I'm not the biggest consumer of sports media beyond NBA stuff. And so I literally have no idea who Alan Hahn is, but I guess Alan Hahn said, you know, suspended for the year, whoever that is on ESPN.
He's a New York radio guy.
Okay, like, I got no idea, but, like, that's the guy saying, you know, suspended for the year. And then I listened to the Bill Simmons, Ryan Russillo pod this morning, and they actually had a really good conversation on the Ja thing. I think it was one of the better ones I've heard, and maybe because it sort of aligns with my thinking to a large degree, but they were saying, like, Russillo was saying, like, you know, 15 games would be a lot. Like, I don't know what, you know, and Simmons was saying, yeah, I think, it, you know, I was thinking 20. I may have this reversed. And one of them was saying 15 games, I think, would still be a lot. One was saying, you know, I think it might be 20, and 20 would be too many. But they had concluded that it's going to be half a year. Like, you know, that it should be more 15 to 20, but it seems like it's going to be half a year. But I think they're just tea leaf reading based on Adam Silver, right? And so I think there's a lot of guessing going on. The only one that I think is potentially not a guess is Woj, just because, like, he's the most connected, and I don't think he guesses, right?
No, I agree with you on that. The one thing, though, and I'm kind of connecting dots. A, obviously, there's going to be just some people that just, you know, talk out of their ass. Like, hey, you got to be on TV, you got to say something, or you got to be on radio, you got to say something. So there's that element. I don't dispute that. The dots that I've connected is that when you start to hear the big, big numbers, the half-season type numbers, that largely seems to be coming from the agent community. And I think a lot of these people you have to keep in mind, while maybe they're not talking to Adam Silver, a lot of these people that cover the NBA have the same agents.
Well, I think there's an echo chamber, right?
Sure.
And I think there may be an echo chamber that it's not ultimately connected to decision makers, right? And so you have a lot of, like, agents talking to each other and people talking to agents and people just repeating the same things back and forth to each other.
100%.
I think that creates a little bit of a hive mind. And to me, I'm not saying it won't be half a season or more, But to me, all of that has come out of like hive mind, back and forth, people talking to each other, and does not seem connected to anything substantive. And I don't know if any of this is connected to anything substantive, but the only one I would raise my eyebrow at is Woj. Because when Woj comes out and says, keep the number 17 in mind, I just don't think he's spitballing like the rest of us are. That just doesn't seem to be the way he operates.
What do you think the questions that Adam Silver really has to consider are?
Well, I think there's this question. You know, he said, you know, we've uncovered more information. And as we talked about last week, the word uncovered like raises my antenna a little bit, right? So I wonder what that means. I don't want to say certain, but it seems highly likely to me that there are more incidents that are relevant to this pattern than the ones we know about. The idea that the only things that have ever happened that relate to this pattern of behavior have gone public seems far-fetched to me. I assume the NBA knows about things we don't know about. I assume the NBA knew about like the fight at the pickup game a long time before it went public, right?
Yes.
The idea that there may have been a gun, you know, at least flashed or shown or whatever, if not used. So I've said from the beginning, I don't think this is just about like an Instagram video. I think it's about a pattern of behavior that the NBA finds troubling. And I suspect that they know more things about that pattern than we do. And so that's, to me, the real question. Because most of the reaction to this, like even on the Simmons-Russillo pod, they said, you know, maybe there's more we don't know. But they're like, you know, how can you get more than 20 games for flashing a gun on Instagram? Whatever he gets is not just going to be for that. And so to me, the real question is, what does the NBA really know? And then the second part is, what do they think can get it back on track? Because Adam Silver made clear when he talked last week, and I think this has got to be front of mind for the league because this is a business. It's not just about putting out punishment. It's about trying to get one of your young stars back on track. A guy who, even amid these troubles, is still selling out shoes, you know? And so the NBA their concern is not punishing Ja Morant. Their concern is fixing Ja Morant or getting Ja Morant back on track to be one of their signature stars. And so to me, what they're operating with is not just a question of appropriate punishment. It's a question of, you know, of rehabilitation or whatever, right? And if that's, you know, I don't know if that may be a problematic word to use in this sense, but you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's getting Ja back on track. It's not just punishing Ja.
I mean, to me, like, that's, if you're the Grizzlies, like, that's the number one priority. I guess the other question, though, that I've kind of thought about, and this is just us spitballing here, how much do you think other owners care about players throughout the league that are not on their team? Like, that seems to me to be something that I don't know. That I assume we will never get an answer because that's the whole point of, like, that's the reason why you have a commissioner. It's, like, to take the heat. But if there's, like, ownership pressure to do something, I think that impacts Silver.
There's been suggestion that that's the case. I'm not sure I totally understand what the logic of that is. Like, what? Setting this, I assume it's not just a competitive thing. Like, you know.
No, I don't. Out. My first thought was impacting sponsorship, but from what I can tell, the NBA seems to be selling out their ads.
And like Ja's shoes are, to the degree they're available, are all getting sold, right? Like in that thing we're selling with Simmons Pod, we're still talking about being at you know, the combine in Chicago and going to the Nike store there and talking to the people who work there about, like, okay, so there are Ja shoes and Zion shoes and Tatum shoes and Luka shoes. And the people at the store are like, oh, the Ja shoes are sold out. Like, way more people are buying the Ja shoes than these other people, than like Zion or Tatum or Luka or whatever. And so I don't know. I think the Ja thing is a problem for the Grizzlies. And ultimately a problem for the league if he can't get back on track. But I don't know that to this point it's damaged anything other than Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, then there's like other questions. And I don't know, like, what are the price point of those other shoes? Like, it seems to me part of the popularity of Ja's shoes, it seems to be at a very reasonable price. Like, what is the supply? Do they just have fewer of Ja's shoes? Like, I don't know, like, there's a production element, whatnot, like. But it seems very clear when Bronny James and Carmelo's son are wearing Ja 1s, it seems to me that at the minimum, it seems to be popular with the youth.
I didn't even know, and I don't follow shoe stuff, and I live in Memphis, so maybe I'm answering my own thing there. but I didn't even know there were Luka shoes or Tatum shoes.
I did not know there were Luka shoes. I figured right, Tatum like I had no that idea. Deal. I think Tatum's a Jumpman guy, a Jordan brand. Right. But yes, I'm with you. I have not been a sneakerhead since I was like 16.
Right.
And then there's also the question like, should that matter? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I don't know one way or the other. Like, I'm just saying like, should it matter? All right. Then lastly, let's get back to the actual series. How bold do you think it is? It feels like Miami's approach is, okay, let's let Jokic get what he wants in the paint. Let's defend the three, but like we're kind of getting out of this doubling him every time he's in the paint and letting him just pick us apart. On the one hand, like I think that's probably what I would try. Like it may be playing with fire, but like I don't think it's insane.
No, I think it's probably a good approach. I mean, you still shot 50% from three and one by
right.
a single possession game, right? And so it's not like you can't get beat doing that. But it made for a competitive game in Denver, and you pulled it out. You got to do something, right? And like Jokic is so great that he's going to play great almost no matter how you defend it, right? And so, it's sort of about the rest of the team. I feel like that's the right approach for Miami. I feel like Denver can still do better with that approach, right? Even with more tighter defensive focus on Jamal Murray and Michael Porter and some of these guys, you got to figure out a way for if you're Michael Malone and those players, you have to be more productive. And so you can't just allow that to be the case. You can't say, well, Miami is going to let Jokic score 40, so that's how we're going to win Jokic scoring 40. It has to be a more balanced attack for Denver, regardless of what Miami's doing.
No, I'm with you because I think in the end, why I really struggle to define, like, okay, well, did this change anything about my opinion of the series? What I was really struggling with was how much of Miami's success last night on offense was related to Denver's defensive breakdowns, which Malone, we got that audio of him being clearly upset. I'm also willing to acknowledge, like, Spoelstra's pretty darn good, like, they might have saw something on film and felt like, okay, this is something we can exploit and attack. Like, how much do you think what Miami did last night said about Miami's offense versus Denver's defense?
Oh, I think, I think Denver's the better team, but I do trust Miami's focus and
yeah.
Miami's
consistency, maybe.
Consistency and ability to adjust. Just because of who they are and because of who their coach is, right? And so I think Denver, I just wonder if Denver got comfortable. You sailed
yeah.
through the first round, you sailed through the second round, you sailed through the first round, you sailed through game one, you're at home, you've never lost at home. I wonder if they were a little too comfortable and complacent in that game last night, and they have to correct that. Beyond the X's and O's, the adjustments, I felt like they may have been a little bit too complacent in that game.
Chris, we really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
Chris Arrington of the Daily Memphian. When we come back, let's get back into a few other questions that we saw from the weekend. Let's get into some conference realignment. We also had the Showboats winning their fifth straight. We also have some college baseball regional results as well as a coaching change for the University of Memphis. We'll discuss all that when we come back right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 11 a.m., it's the Jason and John Show. Weekdays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Life is full of ifs. If you see potential in every day, if you push for that promotion, and even bigger ifs like if you say, I do. If you can cash flow like a pro and get paid up to 2 days early, if you can safeguard against surprises and supercharge your savings, the if in life becomes less iffy. Regions Life Banking makes it possible. If you're interested.
Let's talk about the if in life. Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the State Farm agent on Brookhaven Circle. You know, life is filled with what-ifs, and my team is ready to help you with your what-ifs. Call 901-767-7744. We're better looking than a lizard.
We're here with Jennifer Carstensen, real estate expert from the Live Love Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency. What would you say about a potential buyer who's on the fence about renting or buying?
In Q4, investors don't buy as much. They're holding their inventory. Why? Because people don't rent as often in the winter. So the people that had saved their money, that had gotten beat out by offers, now is that time.
Jen, how can someone find out more?
For those folks to just have a conversation with a realtor that they trust, a lender that they trust, to figure out if the plan is still viable for them to buy a house. And there's ways that we can work with people who are in leases. There's buyout clauses. I mean, there's all kinds of different options for folks. If you think that you're stuck in a lease until spring or summer, that might not be the case.
Whether you're buying or selling, you need Jennifer Carstensen and the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. 901-625-5200 or email them at sold@livelovememphis.com. That's 901-625-5200 or sold@livelovememphis.com.
Are you a maintenance mechanic, diesel mechanic, welder, or a compactor repair person? Are you looking for a different kind of company and culture to be a part of? At Waste Connections and Team Waste, our employees reap the benefit of realizing their potential with our trust and full support. As a second-chance company, we offer competitive pay, a sign-on bonus, tuition reimbursement, tool reimbursement for our mechanics, and at the end of every workday, you get to be home. Our culture is built on taking care of each other and the communities we serve. Apply today at careers.wasteconnections.com and become a part of a great team of people.
When the game goes into overtime, but the game goes into overtime. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Pick up Bud Light at your local convenience store today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Andy Wise here. Disaster restoration. Fire damage, water damage, storm damage. You think restoring property, right? No, it's about restoring people. And no one does that better than ServiceMaster by Cornerstone. Family-owned, Memphis-based ServiceMaster by Cornerstone won Franchise of the Year for how it saves businesses and restores families. And now it's expanded services to Jackson, Tennessee and DeSoto County. Make the wise choice for disaster cleanup that's in the people-building business. ServiceMaster by Cornerstone, 901-RESPOND.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, get the new and exclusive Little Giant A-Frame 6-foot stepladder for an everyday low price of $129.98. Plus, at Lowe's, count on getting the quantities you need when you need them. From drywall to lumber, roofing to concrete, wires to connectors, find it all in one stop. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see sales associate for details, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
That time of year, I see for sale signs popping up all over town in front yards. I see them there, stand there for a good long while, too, and I keep thinking to myself, those folks should go see Josh Hysaw at Keller Williams. I was talking to Teresa. Teresa listed her house. She was worried, given the rates, maybe it'll be on the market for a long time. 3 days on the market, home was under contract. And here's the thing about Josh Hysaw. If your house doesn't sell in 45 days or less, he will either make the mortgage payments or he'll step in and buy it himself. So if you're listing your house, whether you're trying to upsize, downsize, move in, move out, whatever it is, either the level of comfort knowing that it's not going to sit on the market forever, Josh Hysaw is going to get it sold. More than 285 star Google reviews. Check them out for yourself or give them a call. It's Josh Hysaw. .com 901-461-8147 and start packing.
If you need to sell your home, there's only one thing to do. Call Josh Hysaw. Go to joshhysaw.com.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GOLF for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code G-O-L-F. Use code GOLF for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Brad Carson back in studio with us. Brad, I don't know if you noticed on SiriusXM, but we got Yacht Rock Radio back for the summer.
I am a Yacht Rock. This may not surprise you at all. I am a Yacht Rock aficionado.
I've always wondered, though, how many yachts has Christopher Cross been on? I always feel like the people that are like associated with Yacht Rock Radio, I don't associate them with Yacht Rock. Or yachting.
Obviously, I'm of an age now where I have older friends that criticize Yacht Rock when they feel like the playlist isn't on point. So, you know, if like they throw an off cut on from the Doobie Brothers or Christopher Cross and somebody's not happy, they're like, Billy Joel's not Yacht Rock or whatever.
There's no Michael McDonald voice track.
Yeah. Like, I enjoy that format though. It's probably because I grew up driving to school with my mother in the 80s and the 90s, and that era is, not to bore all y'all who are younger.
That's synonymous. Yes.
No, it's that Hall & Oates,
yep.
Christopher Cross, Sailing. They were on FM 100 at the time. You know, so you
that
got
was the
used
popular,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, so you got used to hearing that genre. So they personify it now as like Yacht Rock Radio or whatever, but it's just the stuff that 40-something plus folks have listened to and grew up with, I think. Is that a guess?
I think you pretty much nailed
it.
Okay. That seems to be, it's like, easy listening, and therefore, if like you're out on a boat, it's easy listening.
Yeah, and you can brand. It's like the river, but you brand it like its own
correct
thing,
like
so
it's
makes it
else,
sort of
yes
kind of hip.
Special.
It makes it also a little more palatable as a man to listen to Christopher Cross, you know, because it's not when you're hearing Sailing come out. It's
that
not,
album goes.
Yeah, hey, it does well with a Mick Ultra.
We both watched.
Not on the golf course, though. If you're going to get the pill out for the golf course, you got to get a little edge on there.
Yeah, that's fair. It all plays nicely, though, like on a speaker.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of. I think that's
where
thing
it goes.
It's like background noise.
Is it on one of the main channels now, Jeffrey?
Oh yeah, 14.
Oh, well, there you go.
I have a GM car, so I have
solid.
Whatever. It's XM, even though
right. It's
I think
a Sirius
four
XM
numbers
both
are different than
I think that's right.
All right, so we both were watching some college baseball over the weekend, and a couple of things stood out. Number one, I have found myself, I was less interested in college baseball this year. I've now officially hit the point where it's like, all right, when the regionals get here, that's when I start paying attention. I found, though, that there were a lot of teams that like I was just rooting against rather than rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know the reasoning behind it. But there was another thing that struck me locally. So Tennessee last year, you know, all-time great season.
Mm-hmm.
They get knocked off by Notre Dame in the Super Regionals. And the other thing that struck me is like, oh, Tennessee might figure out like, A, being the number one seed is not really a great thing. We've not seen a team, I think, since Miami in 99 be the number one seed that goes on and wins it all. But also, like, I found myself watching Tennessee this weekend. And I was like, I think they might be better suited for the
underdog
role.
Yes, 100%. So I thought the most fascinating story of the weekend was Tony Vitello and the Tennessee team playing Clemson. There's got to be people listening who saw this, and it made SportsCenter. So last year's narrative was, truly, this dude is, he's like the 18-year-old who's got a handshake for every player, popping out of the dugout. And they had an unbelievable year last year at Tennessee. The pitching staff was loaded up. They were ready to rock and roll last night and then fell short in the regionals last year, if I got that right.
Yep, the Super Regional. They
Super
lost
regional
to Notre Dame.
They didn't get to Omaha.
Correct.
they were expected to go to Omaha last year. Didn't happen. So all the bravado, all the talk, everybody was making fun of Tennessee because, hey, you know, that you, maybe you should shut up and play baseball.
Correct. They were a very cocky team. Like, they are an older team that would like to not only beat you but then tell you that they beat you. This team has been a lot more understated.
Much. Now, they get fired up. Like, well, if they go to a 15, win game against Clemson, they get all fired up and they're popping out of the dugout. But the NCAA created a bunch of rules specifically designed around not having players in the middle of the field during the game, not having players, like, way out in front of the dugout where you've got the whole entire roster popping out of the dugout. So in this Clemson game that they lost in 15 the other night, I think it was in the 13th or the 14th inning, big play happens, and they get out of an inning. Clemson does.
Yes.
And these dudes from Clemson are popping out of the dugout against Tennessee. The center fielder, now, and half the dugout is out on the field.
Correct.
Center fielder is, may have said a few words, but Tennessee wasn't totally wrapped up in it. They were just moving on to try to get to the next inning. They throw the center fielder out of the game in the middle of the game.
Yes, there was an Indiana kid also this weekend. So Indiana has like a home run chain.
Yes.
And like he came like a step onto the field and they suspended him for the next game.
Out. So you not only lose the game that they throw you out of, you lose the next game too.
Correct.
So Clemson lost that player for the next game, which I think is today in the elimination round.
No. So
or was that last night?
So now it's Tennessee moved on.
So they moved on from the elimination round.
Correct.
Clemson's out.
Correct. Clemson is out, and then Tennessee knocked off Charlotte last night. So Tennessee is on, awaiting the winner of Penn and Southern Miss.
This
is the Auburn region.
Yeah.
Penn knocked off Auburn in extra innings on Friday. They beat Samford yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Southern played Samford in the elimination game, knocked out Samford, and so Southern Miss wins last night, but they have to win again today. So that's a winner, go home, whatever.
There's a bunch of upsets. Like, all these host teams, like Arkansas.
Oral Roberts is a four seed that has already moved on. That was the Oklahoma State, the Stillwater Regional. Mm-hmm. The four seed has moved on there. They knocked off Dallas Baptist. Vanderbilt doesn't get out of their own regional.
Wild.
Oregon beat Xavier last night. So Oregon will be hosting Oral Roberts in Eugene for a chance to go to the World Series. As you mentioned, TCU yesterday, 20-5. Their second baseman went 5-for-6 with 11 RBI last night, and he is a showman.
He's ripping the ball.
Three home runs that were like line drives into the right field bullpen. It was insane.
Left-handed kid, right?
He was right-handed yesterday. He was just
pushing the ball.
Oppo.
He was just pushing Oppo.
He was just ripping it.
No, he was killing the
ball. There's also been weather all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So LSU and Oregon State, they will play this afternoon. If LSU wins, they move on. However, if Oregon State wins, it forces a game two at 5 o'clock tonight.
Hmm.
But this is my favorite one so far that we've seen, because the NCAA is bound and determined. Damn it, they won a Texas A&M matchup somehow, some way. We saw it. They're trying to set it up. It felt like in the NCAA tournament in the second round, but then Penn State beat the ever-living crap out of A&M in the opening round matchup. But Texas gets out of the Coral Gables regional, and they were matched up with the Stanford regional. Texas was the two seed in the Coral Gables regional, A&M the two seed in the Stanford regional, and A&M had won the first two games. Last night, Stanford in an elimination game forces the championship game. They win 13-5, but if A&M knocks off Stanford, we're going to get Texas A&M, Texas in a super regional. Presumably, it would be in College Station because A&M was the two the two seed in the 8 bracket versus the two seed in the 9 bracket. So basically, they're like one spot apart, and that could be the difference of hosting the Super Regional. But they have to beat Stanford today.
The general thing is home field doesn't mean as much, it seems like, with these baseball games. Like Stanford
the pitching matters way more.
You got to load up, and this is what they're doing at high school ball, right? They're trying to prevent people from loading up on their top two. That's why it's double elimination. But inevitably, they've usually got two or three pitchers, a guy in the bullpen, and they got two starters. But I also think there seems to be a lot more upsets in baseball than there is in, say, the NCAA. Even though there's upsets, you see it in the 16 seed.
You see one a kid gets hot at the plate, or a pitcher, yes.
I enjoy it for that reason. Like, Arkansas fans, bless your heart, man. Like,
They still got hope.
I do. I know you got out of the elimination round yesterday, but Santa Clara gave them all they wanted yesterday. Which, you have teams like Santa Clara who are in this, too. So,
correct.
And they're in
West Coast Conference power.
Yeah. So
Arkansas plays TCU at 2.
Okay.
If they win.
They play again.
They would play again at 8.
Yeah, I don't see them beating TCU twice.
They have to beat TCU twice after getting beat 20-5 yesterday.
I don't see that happening. I'm sorry.
Also, Florida has they forced a championship game, if you will, against Texas Tech today. The winner of that will play South Carolina. If Florida wins, it would be in Gainesville. If Texas Tech wins, the game would be in Columbia.
The other cool thing about watching the baseball, there are a lot of local players. Like, there's a kid from MUS that's playing for Arkansas. I think he pitched yesterday.
Bolton?
Yeah, he transferred. He might have transferred from, like, Austin Peay or something like that. They might have two kids.
Bolton's an infielder, and he went there.
And then there's a kid from Lewisburg that's on the roster, too, I think, or Olive Branch that's on that Arkansas team. But there's a lot of SEC teams that obviously
probably all play for my dad.
They might have played for your father. Yeah, he's in the circuit. So
no,
yeah.
Bolton's a great player.
Yep.
Great athlete.
Was he playing second base or shortstop?
I think they got him at second, yeah.
Yeah, and Arkansas lost a lot, and they were good this year still. They just reload.
The SEC, 10 bids, so through 30 games, they're 22-8.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So Tennessee's going to move on.
Tennessee has moved on.
They moved on. Okay.
So they await the winner of Penn and Southern Miss. Not Penn State. Penn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That
is...
not the Big Ten team.
Not the Big Ten team.
Okay.
The other things... I mentioned it briefly with Chris, but I was curious to know how you felt about it. So we got Woj on Friday saying... pay attention to 17 games.
I heard
for
this.
Ja.
Yes.
You had Stephen A. on Rich Eisen's show throwing out 25. Do you get the sense that maybe this isn't half the season?
I think it's going to be whatever Woj just sort of alluded to, which is that 17
mark. I am paying much more attention to that than I am.
I heard this crazy half the season stuff, and I don't see that happening. I think 17 is the one to pay attention to because it's less... then Bridges, you know, which was the 30 mark that we talked about all last week for the domestic stuff. And it's double essentially what you did at the beginning when you had your first incident. And it's at the number that affects your all-NBA status, basically, 17 games. I think it'll be 17-20.
All right, when we come back, we'll tell you the one story that you've been waiting for. We'll do that next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, broadcasting at 680 AM. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN at 92.9ESPN.com and anywhere on the free Odyssey app. Memphis' sports station and podcast leader, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Custom framing in Memphis since 1975, Frame Corner is proud to serve the Mid-South. With thousands of framing options available in stock, your favorite styles are easy to find here. From fun and funky colors to classic and contemporary frames, you'll find designs that fit your home or business. You can visit Frame Corner at 5035 Park Avenue in Memphis or call 901-682-9901. That's 901-682-9901 for Frame Corner.
This baseball season, get more thrills out of every at-bat on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K to sign up. Place your first bet and get up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win. You can wager on everything from the money line to hits to which pitcher will lead the league in strikeouts. Plus, with FanDuel's fast payouts, you can get your winnings in the same inning. So swing for the fences with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's my promo code, G-A-B-E-K, to sign up. FanDuel is the official partner of Major League Baseball and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. If you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
As a father of three, I can tell you I've gotten a lot of Father's Day gifts, and I can also tell you without question, the best gifts come from O'Call. That is the point of the enterprise, isn't it? To get something you know the father in your life will love, whether it's a knit shirt, short sleeve sports shirt, anything from Peter Millar or Johnny O. And if you're not certain what he'll want, get him a gift card or ask any of the folks who will be happy to help you. they might well know your dad. O'Call has been helping Memphians find the perfect Father's Day gift since 1859. Let them help you find one for your father today.
How do you know I have three sons? You know where my three sons and I all go for our dentist needs? Of course we go see Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi. Of course we do. We have been for years. Visiting the Smile Center makes going to the dentist actually a pleasure. Teeth well taken care of for, and it is a delight to go see him. He and his clinical staff have all been vaccinated. You can go see him for yourself. Just call 309-1333, 309-133, located 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek. Visit SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Meet Zach. His work-life balance is anything but balanced. But when he gets on the bike, he becomes Zenzac. Zenzac exists outside of time. His heartbeat sounds like a mellow drum circle.
It's cool, right?
The only notification he hears is the sound of the ocean. So if you want to reach him, talk to the ocean.
Zenzac is so zen because he has 24/7 expert claim service with Geico, which is totally chill. Geico Motorcycle. Expert coverage for both your sides.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at babbel.com/TNC.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
It's incredible. After using Babbel, I'm ready to start having real conversations in French.
There's all kinds of ways to learn. Use Babbel's podcasts or games or videos. You can even join live classes with a language teacher.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Babbel. Évidemment.
Text radio to 64000 to try Babbel for free. That's radio to 64000 to try Babbel free. R-A-D-I-O to 64000.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pinzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only
$34.99. Get in zone.
And what do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone. Auto.
And I might need some help.
No problem. We have helpful how-tos at AutoZone.com.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Meet Joe A.
Hi.
Joe B.
Hello.
And Joe C.
What's up?
Three everyday Joes perfecting their banking with Chase. Joe A is locking his lost debit card with the Chase mobile app. Joe B is cruising toward his new ride with AutoSave. And Joe C's Chase banker is helping him budget to go back to school. Tools that help protect. Support for what's next. One bank that puts you in control. Visit chase.com/checking. Chase, make more of what's yours.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Messaging and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, NA member FDIC.
Try the Sonic Grilled Cheese Double Burger. It's like a cheeseburger and a grilled cheese in one. Get it with a small side of tots or fries for only $3.99 for a limited time. Only at Sonic.
Jeff's guests appear on the Service Master by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. Service Master by Cornerstone. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show. Live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
Now, it's the biggest story we haven't talked about on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing.
Well, Brad, this is just coming across the wire. We had two or three things we could have gotten to. Kyrie Irving has reached out to Lakers star LeBron James in attempts to see if James would come to Dallas. Irving is a free agent this offseason. I'm sure him wanting to sign an extension with Dallas has nothing to do with that. Also, Kerrick Jackson.
Oh, yes.
Was the formally announced as the new University of Missouri baseball coach after spending a year here at Memphis. But this also just breaking across the wire from John Rothstein. And Jason and John, I'm sure, will have much more on this in just a moment. St. John's grad transfer David Jones has committed to Memphis. He averaged 13.2 points per game, 6.8 rebounds per game as well. Potential player of the year candidate in the AAC. So David Jones, who took a visit last week, I believe, maybe even the weekend before, he has committed to the University of Memphis. So that is one of the players
that Penny Hardaway was perhaps referencing when saying looking to add one or two more.
Here's what's coming up next.
Brad, what's coming up next on Jason and John?
We've got Jason Fitz who's going to be on. We're going to actually talk a little bit about the Ja Morant penalty or the suspension and what that'll be. Later on during your show, is
got
it Munz on
today.
Monday? So a perfect day to have Jason Munz around 2:45-ish, I assume. And then, of course, Gabe will talk about the Tigers. There's a lot of Tigers news. I know it's like June, but like between the baseball coach leaving and then this news from John Rothstein, he'll cover that with Connor this afternoon at from 4 to 7.
My thanks to Brad for joining the program, as well as Jonathan Von Tobel, as well as Chris Harrington. We'll try to do better tomorrow, but for now, our work here is done.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers, say play 92.9 ESPN.
If you're hiring, it can feel like you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. You can hope the right person comes along, or you can just use ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. In fact, ZipRecruiter has helped a lot of business owners find their needle in a haystack, like Marco, president of operations at Telly Tires and Auto Centers. Because Telly Tires has grown a lot in the last few years, Marco needed to hire everyone from a receptionist to a store manager to a head mechanic.
ZipRecruiter helps me find all the right people, even the most difficult jobs to fill. ZipRecruiter helps me keep my business running.
Take it from Marco and millions of other businesses who've used ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter can help you find the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/RADIO. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Zaxby's new Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Fries are a delicious combination of all your favorite ingredients. We start with a bed of perfectly seasoned crinkle fries, then layer on crispy hand-breaded 12-hour marinated chicken, savory hardwood smoked bacon, a drizzle of creamy buttermilk ranch dressing, and finish it off with a shredded cheddar blend. Plenty to share, but why would you?
Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Fries.
Woo, saucy! Zaxby's.
Hey, Mary, is that a new phone?
Yeah, just upgraded at T-Mobile. Their new Go 5G Plus plan gives me the same great phone deals as new customers.
I am so jealous. AT&T's got me locked into a 3-year device contract, and my phone is locked to their network, too.
Ooh, that's a long time.
3 years! That's like the length of 2.5 relationships.
It's time to ditch AT&T. Bring your locked phone, and T-Mobile will pay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.